Hey, did I wake you up? Oh, thank you, Lord. I'd like to start off with a little bit of prayer. And not a little bit, because a little bit is all we need. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for allowing us to gather together in freedom. Thank you for allowing us to watch the children run around and for us to love on each other. Because it's your love that saves us, your love that gives us strength. And let my words be acceptable to you, Lord, and only to you, and to those listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you don't know who I am, I'm the guest speaker. Okay? It's always interesting when you're preparing for something like this, how things go and what gets your attention. This topic that I have actually is a song, and it's one interesting fact. The subject of my message is "Who Do You Love?" Now, for musicians that are kind of in the know, and for us old enough to remember, "Who Do You Love?" was a song. "Who Do You Love?" was part of Bo Diddley's repertoire throughout his career, if you didn't know that. But none of his various recordings reached the record charts. This song has been interpreted and misinterpreted and recorded by numerous musicians in different styles, and they often added a Bo Diddley beat. Popular renditions includes those by Ronnie Hawkins, George Thurgood, with chart singles by the Woolies. And by the way, I did not look up the Woolies. I was too woolly to do it. Okay. Tom Rush. This one I remember. Quicksilver Messenger Service. How many in here remember Quicksilver Messenger Service? You don't have to put your hands up at all. Please don't. But I do. I remember it very well. I remember it when I first heard it. And another group called Juicy Lucy. How'd you like to have a name like that? Juicy Lucy. Bo Diddley was the stage name for Elias McDaniels. "Who Do You Love?" was recorded on March 24th, 1956, in the great city of Chicago, Illinois. The record label was Checker, and I think it was named after a cab, and the producers were Leonard Chess and Phil Chess. Here's the second interesting fact. Last week, David LaChania spoke on love. And unbeknownst to him, we did not consult together, we did not talk this over, there was no instant messenger or anything like that. But the Holy Spirit connected us. The Holy Spirit knew that the message was going to be needed even more than now. Thus we see how similar they are, even down to using song titles and lyrics of songs as introduction. Who do you love? You will probably get tired of me saying that throughout my talk. Who do you love? Because that it is going to affect each of you personally. Third interesting fact. According to Dr. Tom Davis, the word love is mentioned in the Bible 714 times, making it the 160th most used word. However, many of these words from the Old Testament, Akava, Hadish, and one Greek word which I think we all know out of the New Testament, agape. The root word is love. The love The word love is first mentioned in the Bible in Genesis 22:2. If you've got a Bible, you got one of your apps, take the time to take a look at that. This is when God tells Abraham to take his only son, Isaac, to the land of Moriah to be sacrificed as a burnt offering. The scriptures read this way. Then he said, capital H, by the way, take now your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Can you hear it ringing out in the distance? Who do you love? Who do you love? We know what happened on that mountain. Can you hear God's voice saying that to you right now? Who do you love? Who do you love? Let's look at another passage in Scripture for those who have Bibles or a Bible app. Or if you got a piece of paper, write it down so you can go home and look it up. Matthew 5, 43, 44. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That first part of this, in regards to love your neighbor, hate your enemy, actually comes from Exodus 21, 12 through 27. It's called the Law Concerning Violence. Now, with all these interesting facts, and one thing I love about facts, a lot of times we come to church looking for facts. We should be coming to church looking for Jesus. Amen? Amen. We should walk in that door thinking that in our head, who do you love? You're most likely saying to yourself, how is the Old Testament scriptures different from the New Testament scriptures? Let's look again at Matthew 5, chapter 5, verses 43, 44. Specifically this, you have heard that it was said, meaning Old Testament wording, which was the language of the law, by the way. Now look at what verse 44 says. But I say to you. But I say to you. Imagine this and know this. This is God speaking. But I say to you. But I say to you. Jesus has the authority and the position in the Godhead. He is over all, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is elevating the written word to a living word, so that we in turn will become that living word to a dead and dying world. The living word will be in you, not just draped over your external self, but in your whole being, spirit, mind, and body, thus being born again. Nicodemus, if you know your Bible. This we see again in John 15, chapter 15, verses 12 through 13. And Jesus is taking it again on his shoulders. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for his friends. It's his commandment. It's not the church. It's not me. It's not this world, certainly. Not at all. It's him. It's his commandment. And if I start crying, that's fine too. Because, and this is not in my notes, He paid it all. Amen? He paid it all. He didn't pay it partially. He didn't pay a little bit. He took all the hell that I was supposed to get and put it on his shoulders. Love put him up there. It's the Logos commandment. It's that sacrificial, I will die for you love. It's that love that will put itself on the altar of sacrificial offering. It's that love that'll go to the cross for the world. He didn't just go for me. He went for everybody. That's hard to believe, isn't it? That one man, one God-man, did all of that. He just did it. He just did it. How different it was for those listening to Jesus speak these words. Hearing Jesus say that his love is greater and ours will be also. That's the message that comes with it. Ours will be also because of him. His commandment will provide in us the spirit of truth. That's what you get when you give your life to Christ. The spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, comes in you. We were talking this morning about two dogs in a man or a woman. There's an old Indian parable that I heard, and this is again off script, old Indian parable about a warrior, an Indian warrior. And he was talking about that there are two wolves inside of me. Two wolves inside of me, and they battle each other. And he went to his elder to ask advice. The elder told him, one of them will win. It's the one that you feed that will win. What are you feeding yourself? Not here at church. Church is good, but it can help you and get you up over Sunday, but Monday show is coming around. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. What are you feeding yourself? And remember this, who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love enough that you'll spend time with him and his word? Who do you love? He points us toward a life... not a life lived not just in following the do's and don'ts. Pharisees went down that road. Sadducees, scribes, they had that puppy down to a T. And we can get the same way of sorts. But give us living water to live life as the living word from our living Savior, who is seated on the right hand of God the Father. This is good news. This is the gospel. Amen? Thank you. Amen. With this knowledge and the Holy Spirit, how different it makes a secular song made in 1956 sound to your ears. I pray that it will ring in your ears from now on. Who do you love? Who do you love? The Holy Spirit wants us to see this love from other points of view as well. Let's look at this scripture. We're going back in time. Going back in time. Leviticus 19:15. You shall not take revenge nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Ooh. Why'd you have to say that? I was okay with don't take the vengeance, but I am the Lord. He's proclaiming something to us. This scripture requires the reader to act or have action in some form. In Leviticus 19:15, God requires one to take vengeance, not to take vengeance, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Anybody here guilty of that? Okay. If quiet is kept, we probably all are to a certain degree. This action can be physical. What I do physically and mentally, which is what I think about, that's that next little barrier. But ultimately, it's spiritual, the big barrier. Because we fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and strongholds from the spiritual realm. And you say, well, Bill, I really don't believe in the spiritual realm. Interesting. It's there. You don't have to believe in it for it not to be there. You can dismiss it, and it is still there. You can say it doesn't exist, but it is still there. It has always been there, and it's not going to go away. I want to go back to John 15, 12, chapter 15, verses 12 and 13 for one more look. You are to love one another, but here's the difference. As I have loved you. Jesus has given us a blueprint. As I have loved you, Jesus is us to the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Thus, we as believers and followers of Jesus should learn from the written word, the Holy Bible, but in doing so, we should learn to live out his word in our everyday life. Live out his word in our everyday life. Who do you love? Who do you love? Not just on Sunday, but every day. But in order to do this, you must accept Jesus' free gift that is bought and paid for in his blood. By accepting him as your Lord and your Savior, it's never too late till it's too late to accept his free gift. By accepting the Lord free gift. From here, I want to give you two examples of what can happen when a person is offered that free gift of love and life. Let's go to the New Testament. See, in the old church, we used to hear pages flip. See, I remember those days. Okay? In the old church, I can remember them pages going like the, yes, brother, just like that. Yes, Brother Zach, just like that. And I've come to understand that you don't have to have that anymore. Because in actuality, you can pull one of these little things out and you can do all kind of stuff with it. Good stuff, bad stuff. Luke 10, chapter 10, verses 25, 37, New King James Version, by the way. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I want to stop right here. That lawyer tested him. I submit to you, every day you're going to get tested. If you love Jesus, you're going to be tested. You will be tested. It may come in a little test. It may come in a mediocre test. It may come in a big test. It may come physically, mentally. Ultimately, it's coming from the spiritual realm. It comes spiritually, but you will be tested. Usually, we recoil at the word testing, because it conjures up pass fail. I want to submit to you, brothers and sisters, we fight not for victory, we fight from victory. Amen? We fight from the top of the hill going down, not from the bottom of the hill going up. And I know there's one man in here that's been in the military, probably more than that. If you take the high ground, what happens? Everything is laid out before you. It's all downhill. Christ is already on that high ground. Amen? He died on that high ground. Amen? Okay? When they were sitting there, all the guards, all the centurions, all these soldiers, they had an idea of what that high ground meant. What does that high ground mean to you? You will be tested. And accept that testing and learn from it. Don't just say, hey, I went through a testing. I'm doing this and such. What did you learn from it? What did you learn from God from it? That's the important part. Because the rest of this stuff is going to go, and it's gone. A certain lawyer stood up, tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" What is your reading of it? The Bible. Do you do it? Who do you love? So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You've answered rightly. Do this and you will live. Now you'd think right there that right after that, that lawyer would have said, "Jesus, I'm following you." At least I would have thought that way. No. Because internal to us, there's something else talking. Internal to us, there's something else talking right now. Hey, what are we going to have for lunch? What's on TV? What am I going to do after this? Where am I going to go? All of these are whispers. Where do you think them whispers come from? Where do they come from? Here's where he gives himself away. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Question, and who is my neighbor?" The lawyer just went dummy. Okay, I'm serious. Out in the street, you just say, "That puppy just went dummy." Okay, who is my neighbor? Do you know who your neighbors are? You see them. If you see them, you got some idea. You may not know their name, but guess what? You still see them. Who's your neighbor? Who do you love? Who do you love? We do this all the time. We try to justify, redefine, just defy what Jesus is telling us to do, and the Holy Spirit is urging us to do the opposite. Our flesh will tell us to go one way. Holy Spirit will tell us to nudge us. "Hey, brother, you better be going. Sister, you better be going this way." That internal fight. We should love without conditions. Turn the other cheek. Give our cloak as well as going that extra mile. It can mean making that commitment and following through in doing it right. Doing it right. Easy words to say. Sometimes it's a tough son of a gun to do. We're to love and cherish till death, no matter the cost. Amen? Love and cherish till death. To reinforce this truth from Luke 10:30-37, then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho." Stop right here. Jesus could have looked at that lawyer and done what Bill loves to do. I'm fessing up, you dummy. He could have looked at that lawyer and said, "Hey, come on, man. You got a clue? You got a clue? You know who's standing here in front of you? Did you see my lips moving? Did you hear my words? But he didn't. That's how God does things. He basically started telling him a story. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, perchance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Passed by on the other side. This is a priest. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan. If you read your Bibles and if you kind of look at it, you'll see that there was an angst between the Jews and the Samaritans. It goes back a long way. I'm not going to get into all of that. But that, if you want to call it hatred, disdain, prejudice, whatever word you want to use, was there between the Jews and the Samaritans. Jesus is touching a whole lot of different points all at once. And he does this throughout the scripture. You think he's talking about one thing, and then you'll come back and reread it and see that he's talking about other things. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And it wasn't cheap. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I'll repay you." So which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Who do you love? Who do you love? Here's what the lawyer answered. Lawyer finally, he got smart real quick. Doesn't that remind you of a lawyer? They can be as dumb as a post sometimes. And then the next thing you learn, well, where did that come from? Anyway, that's another subject. And he said, "He who shows mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Go and do likewise. Who do you love? Go and do likewise. What does this mean to you? Do you think and show the love of Jesus to those around you, as is depicted in the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22, 23? Love what may seem not lovable or unlovable. Love people even when their actions and reactions just piss you off. Excuse my French. Okay? Love, asking for forgiveness and repentance from God and from others and from yourself. Sometimes we need to forgive ourselves along with others. Joy is being one with Jesus. Joy in the midst of the battle. Joy in the minute and the minute. Did you know they're spelled the exact same way? The minute and the minute. Peace when the flesh screams, "Retaliate! Get that blankety-blank person back! He did you wrong." We right now are battling that in America. We right now are battling that in America. It fleshes itself out in a lot of different ways. But it's the same old battle. It's the same old battle. It's coming from the spiritual realm. It's the same old battle. Patience. When your mind and your last nerve is pleading, move on with this. Bill, why don't you shut up so I can get home? Ho. I got things to do. Yes, you do. I do too. But you know what? This time for us being here at this point in time is important. This may be a changing point for someone. kindness with compassion and discernment, doing what God's truth says is good or goodness, reading his word, thinking, studying on his word, living his word daily. Faithfulness, being there when you say you're going to be there, putting God first so you can pass it along to your family, your friends, fellow believers, and guess what? Even to your enemies. Amen. And sometimes your enemies can be those in your own family. Oh, went right to it, didn't I? Amen. Because I got the same problem. It can be in your family. Jesus didn't come here to give us a bed of roses. He didn't come here to hand us a bowl of cherries and say, oh, look, hey, everything's cool. Fortunately and fortunately, long-suffering is hanging in there against all the world has to throw at us. Gentleness being the opposite of what the TV, movies, media, and even people who are preaching the message of lawlessness and violence. It is being preached today harder than what we get in church. Amen. It is being preached to you. It is being stroked to you. It is being cudgeled up next to you. It comes at you from every angle that you can't even see. And the only way you can combat it is with Jesus. The only way you can combat it. Self-discipline, or as Galatians 5:22-23 says, self-control, which includes your mind, your tongue, and your actions. Ultimately, it's this. Who do you love? Come on, Bo Diddley. Who do you love? Who do you love? Today, you must make a decision. Now is that time. Now is your opportunity to come forward to receive the free gift of salvation and eternal life from a living and caring Jesus. Please make that decision. If you haven't made that decision, you can make it right now. Who do you love? Who do you love? Who do you love? I pray that tonight, when you lay on your bed, if you haven't made that decision, you can do it there. But I pray you come back and tell us, so that we can hug you and love on you and reinforce that God loves you. Same message David gave, being reinforced. And it'll probably continue with the pastor, with others. Who do you love? Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the peace that you've given to us through your Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I thank as we thank you as we go from this place, better for being here than not, that we'll remember that you love us so. You loved us before the beginning of time itself. And we just give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Benediction. The Lord, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give us peace this day and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.